Genesis chapter 3, or chapter 32 rather. Chapter 3 was a while ago. We're in chapter 32 this morning. In particular, we're going to look at verses 22 to the end of the chapter. As you dial that up, as you get prepared to look at that, today's text has captured me in a way that I did not expect. In coming to this text at the beginning of the week, I kind of thought my job was going to be difficult. I needed to make sense of it all because it's kind of an odd story. I needed to figure out how it connects with us. But you know what? It only took a few minutes of prayer, a few minutes of study to see its relevance for us, and quite frankly, specifically for me. Yes, I'm a pastor, but I still need God's word. I still need the Spirit to work in me as well. You know, I wrestled with God for many years during my early years of life. As many of you know, I was born with a birth defect called cleft lip, cleft palate. Now, it wasn't really life-threatening, though I guess it could have been because eating's kind of hard when you're younger before the repair happens. But nonetheless, the real difficulty for me was the obvious display that something's different about you. Now, I know it's not that bad, of course, hardly noticeable, but as a kid, they notice. Before a beard, mustache, they notice. You just don't look like everybody else. And, you know, quite frankly, I could not understand. I just simply could not understand why God did that to me. Why didn't he bless me with a normal face, normal facial features? You may be going, well, you look kind of, but I struggled with God's presence. I struggled with, why am I flawed? Why am I so different, seemingly, in my heart and in my thoughts? This morning, have you struggled with God? Are some of you this very moment struggling with God? Have some of you this week wrestled with the unsettledness when it comes in following God? When it comes in being obedient to his truth, what that might mean, what that might look like in our life, or just things outside of your control. God, why won't you do something? Well, this morning, could I encourage you to dial in? Because I believe that today's text can encourage us and challenge us. Genesis 32, 22 through the end of the chapter. Follow along as I read it. It'll be up on the screens for you. Verse 22. The same night he, this is Jacob, arose, took his two wives, his two female servants, his 11 children. He crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them, he sent them across the stream, and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Intrigued already? Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Verse 29. Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. We find Jacob still uneasy about what is coming. He is completely unsure what Esau and his 400 men will do to him when they arrive. If you don't know what that is, you can look back to last week's message. But Esau, his brother who he offended greatly, who doesn't like him, who the last word on Jacob was, "I'm going to kill you," is headed towards him because he's seeking forgiveness with 400 men. Jacob is just a tad uneasy about that. He's unsure of this move and being obedient to the Lord. So he's still awake at night. He sends his family across the stream. And the next thing we know, he's wrestling a man. WWE is in full swing. If you don't get that reference, maybe you can look it up later. Friday Night SmackDown is happening. It's a complete surprise. After he sends his family across the stream, you know what the text makes plain? It says it so clearly. Here's what it says. And Jacob was left alone. Period. Then the very next sentence says, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Wait a minute, what? Who snuck up on Jacob and put him in a headlock? The man came from nowhere. I thought he was alone. This is storytelling at its best. I grew up in an environment where we loved stories. We told stories, transmitted information through stories. And this is good storytelling. You give some boring detail, then bam! Wrestling match. It's kind of like that movie, right? They're going through a normal daily, just maybe driving their car, then bam! Sideswipe out of nowhere. Kind of draws us in, doesn't it? It makes us pay attention. You see, how Esau is going to respond to Jacob, well, apparently it's gotta wait. This event, this detail, is just too important. Life's kind of like that, isn't it? We often think, well, this problem is before me. I must take care of it. Oh, wait, there's another problem that's bigger. Oftentimes, there's a more significant thing that must occur before we take care of the looming problem in front of us. Jacob, oh, he will face his brother. But first, he must wrestle with this man. Apparently, Jacob's got some energy. Apparently, he's got some tenacity. He's got what I like to call grit. The text says, when the man, who he's wrestling, saw that he, Jacob, did not, or when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, rather, when he notices, well, this isn't getting anywhere, when he notices that he's not going to prevail, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. This just got intense. The seemingly less powerful man, I'm not going to prevail, seemingly less powerful, simply touches Jacob's hip and bam, it is out of socket. Who is this man? Though Jacob is giving it all he has, he does not actually overcome the man. He has prevailed to some degree, but with a light little touch, he's physically disabled. If you think that's far-fetched, I love the ending of this story. It reminds us that because of this touch, the entire nation of Israel still does not eat that part of the meat. Still today, 2022. I looked it up. Apparently, this is no ordinary man. And apparently, Jacob is locked into no ordinary struggle. This is far greater than Friday Night SmackDown. Something is going on here. Though his hip is out of socket, I've never had my hip out of socket, but I assume that hurts. I would assume as we grow older, we get worried about our hips. And when they don't work, we don't work very well. But though his hip is out of socket, he keeps going. The man actually looks at him and says, "Hey, let me go. For the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Bless me? His hip is out of socket. How about, why don't you repair me? And let's have a conversation. Could you touch me again? Well, it seems at this point that Jacob must know. He must get a sense that it's God he is wrestling. It seems by this desire that Jacob is aware that God has come to him. And in coming to him, he lets Jacob maybe get out his uncertainty. He actually lets Jacob struggle with his uneasiness of what is going to come next. We get a sense here, this is why he struggles so hard with tenacity and why he's got so much grit in this struggle, because Jacob just wants God to bless and reassure him, please. You see, with all the deception years ago that Jacob used to get the blessing, Jacob's matured a little bit here. Now he wants to do it right. And in doing it right, he's pursuing the man who wanted to kill him. Oh, Lord, please. He is so unsure of what Esau and his army will do. So he's begging for God, please be with me. Please bless me in this struggle. Perhaps we get it. Perhaps we relate. So the man blesses and then changes his name. Here's what the text said. And he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. Then he said, nah, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men. Maybe a point forward, and he's struggling now with Esau. You have prevailed. Then Jacob asked, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? I kind of chuckle at that. It's like, I can ask your name, but you can't ask my name. It's almost like he's saying, you know what is happening here, Jacob. And then it says very clearly, and he blessed him. Verses 27 through 28, Jacob gets a new name. But this section of scripture marks a significant moment in the formation of God's people. It's here that we understand that God is actually the one who names Israel. In all of your study through growing up and you learned of that nation, it's actually God who names them. And you know how he names them? It's based upon this wrestling match with Jacob. Because Jacob strived with God and did not give up, he's shown tremendous faith. He will now be called Israel. And that name will forever be what God's people are called throughout the Old Testament. A constant reminder to be faithful, like Jacob. Matter of fact, some of the prophets record this event and use it. Here's how Hosea records this event. Listen to this. In the womb, he took his brother's heel, and in his manhood, he strove with God. We know it's talking about Jacob. He strove with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought his favor. He met God at Bethel, and there God spoke with us. The Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial name. So here's the conclusion. So you who bear the name of Jacob, who strove with God, you, by the help of your God, return, hold fast. Be faithful to love and justice. Wait continually for your God. You see, even the Old Testament, here Hosea specifically, references these events of Jacob's life to do what? Call them back to faithfulness. Because why? Jacob showed them faith. And it was because the Lord had created them through these events in Jacob's life. You see, the God they follow, the God we follow, is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and guess what? Now the God of Jacob. You see, the prophets, all of Israel, what they see in Jacob is they see that they indeed will wrestle. It's kind of part of the deal. But what they must do is continue in faith with God. Because why? He called. He created. He names them. Don't give up. Don't give in. in your struggles of faith, in obedience, in all the uncertainty that comes in following him, remain faithful, Israel. Strive with God. You see, as the nation of Israel struggled, they would have come back to this text. They would have come back to this story over and over and over again. And as they did, they would see Jacob go through hard times, but would have been reminded that he kept persistent. That's what the man seems to notice right before he touches his hip. Hey, Israel, who bears the name of Jacob, be persistent, just as Jacob was in the blessing that God had given him through Abraham down to him. Even in their captivity, if you don't know your Old Testament history, the nation of Israel goes captivity, out, captivity, out. And in their captivity, they suffered greatly. This story, and not only the story, but their nation's name would give them hope and courage to stand firm, to strive with God in all their uncertainty. Why are we here, Lord? Why? Because it's God who met Jacob there in that wrestling match. Listen to verses 29 through 32. Then Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you asked me? And there he blessed him. So verse 30. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. He has a habit of doing that, right? Every time he meets God, bam, let's name this place. We had the house of God, the camp of God. Now I've been with God face to face. There's a progression in Jacob's life that seems to include wrestling. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, for I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered. The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping, still there, because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. Why would they derive courage and strength from them, from this? Because it was God who met Jacob. It was God who created them. It was God who made, called them. See, at this point, Jacob is very clear that it's God who has met him in the form of a man. God has come to him face to face. And in doing so, he's made a few things clear to Jacob, hasn't he? But you know what's really interesting to me is it's not lost on Jacob that in meeting God, God has actually let him live. Jacob seems to understand, I have come face to face with God and he has let me live. I'll take my limp. He's forever changed at this point. Physically, mentally, and certainly spiritually. As one commentator put it, the divine wounding of Jacob made him into a new man, Israel. This is such a pivotal moment that all of Israel decides not to eat the sinew on the hip still to this day. It's just too precious, apparently. It just reminds them of too much, apparently. And this is a massive event for the people of God and the creation of God's people. And that's all well and fine. And that is good and encouraging to us, I suspect, that the people of God, as they struggle, would come back to this wrestling match and remind themselves of who God is and the realities of struggling. But what are we so far removed from an interesting story like this? I'd like for us to consider a couple of things this morning. One is God let Jacob wrestle him. Let that sink in for a moment. God let Jacob wrestle him. You see, the longevity of the wrestling match is not a lack of power or strength from God. Because with one touch, he dislocates Jacob's hip. You see, God let Jacob wrestle him. He actually let it go until the break of day. Remember when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket. Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled him. God let Jacob wrestle him. It seems that God is creating a moment to see his faith. But perhaps, maybe, it's more for Jacob to see that he truly does believe in God. Maybe there's something for Jacob here to understand, wait a minute, the God of Abraham, the God of my father Isaac, their God is now my God. He has come and he has met with me. He has let me wrestle with him. You see, we wrestle with uncertainty. We wrestle with doubts. And in that, we want nothing more than God to just radically change the situation. But in his infinite wisdom, he lets us wrestle. He seems to do this to reveal greater realities, to make us aware of our heart condition. He seems to do this out of love. He takes the time to walk with us. He lets us strive with him. When you and I would go, oh, you foolish person. You don't see the whole picture. You're not God. But he lets Jacob strive and wrestle with him. What a patient and good God. That actually, the wrestling, the love in which he shows and letting that occur should really breed in us a persistence. We should just simply keep wrestling. Perhaps that's not what you wanted to hear this morning. No, take it away. But perhaps the point is that we are to keep wrestling. God lets us do that. God lets Jacob do that. If you don't believe me, well, here's how Jesus puts it. Luke chapter 18, 1 through 8. Here's what he says. He told them a parable. Here's what he told them a parable. This is great. To the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Anyone know what the parable is? He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continually coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? There's something about the wrestling that creates in us a greater sense of faith. There's something that reveals in us a persistency, or unfortunately not. You have to understand that it's not a lack of power that Jacob prevails. It is the infinite wisdom of God that he delays, because the wrestling is what Jacob needs right now. Perhaps you and I should not moan, well, maybe a little bit, because it bothers us. But perhaps we should be saying, well, Lord, what are you doing? It's just staggering to me that God lets him wrestle all the way up to the break of day. This is enough. Well, there's more to consider. Not only does God let Jacob wrestle, but what we learn from this and what the scripture seems to indicate is that faith requires wrestling, but it yields blessings. So I said this a minute ago, but I want to say it again. The wrestling has a way of revealing our heart condition, doesn't it? So why does faith require our wrestling? because it reveals something about us. Will you persevere or not? It's an easy question to rattle off an answer right now, right? Well, of course, Pastor, I will, and I'd be right behind you. Yeah, me too. It's easy to answer in the context of where we sit now. But something about the wrestling, it kind of brings out the things deep inside your heart that you trust most, doesn't it? It has a way of exposing our fears. It has a way of showing what our frustrations are really based upon. Though we respond and we have a tremendous difficulty with things, so we go to the Lord and we wrestle. And in his infinite wisdom in letting us, he is also letting us be aware of our heart. You see, wrestling exposes what you and I trust most. Do we trust the wisdom of the Lord? Or do we trust our own understanding more? Do we believe we deserve only easy things and we despise the hard things? Really? Because brothers and sisters, those visiting with us, it is the hard things that work in us a trust that yields immeasurable blessings down the road. It's actually the hard things the Lord seems fit to use. As we remain faithful, the Lord's favor and blessing will be evident despite the hard times. You see, Jacob will go face his brother. But right now, he is reminding himself, and the Lord is letting him to understand, I will be with you. Despite the hard times, despite the frustrations, the wrestling reminds us, the Lord indeed is with us. Perhaps I could put it this way, past wrestling feeds future faithfulness. Let me say that again. Past wrestling feeds future faithfulness. Why is that? Because the Lord was there. Jacob becomes keenly aware, oh, it's God who's here. I've just met with God. So this wrestling will absolutely feed future faithfulness because the Lord was there. And the Lord being in that mess, the Lord being in that difficulty, the Lord being in that struggle reminds us that he will also be with us in all of life. He will actually never leave us nor forsake us. So as you go forward, you can be reassured that if he was there in the hard times while you wrestled, guess what? He'll continue to be with you in all time. You see, we don't run away from him and wrestle. We run to him and we wrestle. If he'll be with us in those times, well, certainly would he not be with us in all times? You see, it's kind of the wrestling that calls us back to the Lord. You see, because in the wrestling, we are made so aware of our weakness. But you know what we're also made aware of? His grace. That's kind of the blessing, isn't it? The blessing is this. I'm with you even in the hard times, even in your weakness. Now, doesn't that sound familiar? If your memory hasn't been jogged, let me quote the scripture, 2 Corinthians 12:9. Doesn't the story seem oddly familiar to another person we know, Paul, that learned this? Jesus, God, speaks to him and says, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness." You see, wrestling seems to make that verse so clear to us. Dismiss the hard times and the wrestling. Dismiss the taste of God's grace. Dismiss understanding how sufficient his grace is for us, even in our weaknesses. Brothers and sisters, those visiting us, faith requires wrestling, but it yields tremendous blessings. Well, perhaps we could see from this story and understand something really unique. Wrestling leaves Jacob limping with a new name. You think Jacob's going to soon forget this moment? Hardly. Jacob will forever remember this moment by his limp and his name. We must understand, brothers and sisters, that wrestling with our faith, with the difficulties that come our way, guess what? Might leave us limping. But we come out with a new name. We come out with a new perspective that generates greater joy, that generates a rock-solid faith. You actually might get hurt in the wrestling. Well, I can't believe that. You might get touched in a way that leaves a lasting mark, but guess what? It will remind you of your persistent faith. And not only that, God's promises. Yes, it'll remind you of your weakness, but it'll remind you of His grace. Jacob now has to go face Esau with less physical ability. I was worried about this battle, and now I got to limp over to it? How weak do I look? But you know, though he is going to face Esau with less physical ability, he goes with greater trust. He goes with a new name. A new name. And a greater sense of God. You see, physical ability has little value when it comes to what God can and will do. Brothers and sisters, I'd rather go at life limping with less trust in me and greater trust in God and His promises. I'd like to say that again. I'd rather go at life limping with less trust in me and greater trust in God and His promises. You know, at the start, I mentioned a flaw I was born with that caused great wrestling. You know what I found out? It was actually a blessing. It was disguised a little bit. I didn't quite see it at first. But come to find out, it indeed was a tremendous blessing in my life. I would not change it for anything, because it is how the Lord has chosen in His infinite wisdom to create in me greater trust in God. And when I say I wrestled, brothers and sisters, I wrestled. I was angry. I was frustrated. I was just simply mad. Why can't I be like so-and-so? But the Lord saw fit to use that to create a greater trust in Him, because you know what? I'd rather go at life limping with less trust in me and greater trust in God and His promises. Though I go and look a little different, maybe I'll get hearing aids sooner than I thought I would. But you know what? I'd rather go at life limping with less trust in me and greater trust in God and His promises. Lastly, would you consider this with me? God took the form of a man. Jacob says he comes face to face with God. What is actually staggering about that claim is that he lived. That's the actually most staggering part about this. Not God coming to meet him, but the fact that Jacob lived. You remember Moses? He begged to see God face to face. Please, let me see you face to face. But what happened to him? He was safely put in the cleft of the rock as God's presence passed by. Why? So he did not die. So once again, Jacob came face to face with God and did not die. Do you see the hints here? The look down the corridors of time to another moment, God will take the form of a man. Many would lay their eyes on God and not die. But God would take upon himself death. You think it's odd that God took the form of man? You wrestle with that possibility? Well, good, because wrestling is essential. And the Lord can and will use it to bring us to faith. So this morning, if you're with us and not a believer, I've got really good news for you. God took flesh in human form and wrestled sin. And guess what? It did not prevail against him. As he was crucified upon the cross, it looked like the fight was over, but it was just a hip out of socket, because 3 days later, he rose from the dead to claim victory over this broken and torn up world that you and I struggle in. This morning, let us see God take the form in Christ, who has prevailed like you and I cannot. Jacob thought he was getting somewhere, but with a light touch, he's physically disabled, signifying there's a greater power at work. Christ comes, crucified upon a cross, and yet rose 3 days later. Brothers and sisters, wrestling with God is essential for our faith to increase. And perhaps it's not real fluffy good news for you this morning, but the good news is that in the wrestling, our faith is increased. In the wrestling, we become aware of God's grace. In the wrestling, we become thankful for the person and work of Jesus, who could do what you and I cannot do. This is an odd story. It seems bizarre, but it's exactly what Jacob needed. And brothers and sisters, it is exactly what you and I need. If you only receive easy things from the Lord and unwilling to receive hard things, you will not experience the depth of joy that is yours in Christ. Wrestling is part of the deal. The struggle is part of the work the Lord does in us in his grace and mercy. And come to find out, is essential for our faith. Will you persevere? Christ reminds us that we ought not to lose heart in prayer and coming unto the Lord. We ought not to lose heart because the victory has been ultimately won, and God taking the form of a man and overcoming sin. Let us rejoice this morning. Let us receive the struggles in wrestling with perseverance. Let's pray. Father God, this morning, this is such an odd and unique story. It's such an odd glimpse into the life of Jacob. But as we have followed him over the last couple of weeks, we begin to understand how essential this moment is for Jacob. It seems to be the place that, God, you're not just his grandfather's God. You're not just his father's God. Now in this moment, you're his God. You see, it's the wrestling and the struggle that brings him to that realization. And Father, let us not dismiss the struggles we feel. But as light in the desert church, I pray that you would guard our hearts to not run away and wrestle, but to run towards and strive with you. You let Jacob do that, you'll surely let us. So Father, be patient with us. Use our struggling and our wrestling to give us a greater sense of faith and a greater sense of grace and all that we have in Christ. So Father, thank you for this morning. And we ask that we would go out humbled, go out with greater joy, and go out with a greater sense of your work in our life. So, Father, it's in your holy and precious name that we pray.